We got a couple announcements this morning. Starting off with our teens and preteens are going to be heading to Elevate on March 24th. They'll be leaving at 6 p.m. Right now they're selling...
It's a meeting.
Oh, they're having a meeting. Sorry. The meeting is March 24th. It's in May. That's right. But they are selling coffee, trying to earn money for the trip as well. So please sponsor our kids, leave a donation, help them out. Also, Easter is coming up in 2 weeks. We have new members and baptisms going on. If anybody would like to be baptized or they would like to become a new member, please speak to Jeannie Adams or Pastor Carlos or even call the church office. They will get you set up with our church for baptisms or becoming a member. Speaking of membership classes are March 24th. Next week, after second service, we will be supplying lunch and childcare. So please RSVP with the pastor or the church office or Jeannie. Speaking for Easter, we are still looking for candy for the Easter egg. So if you guys would like to donate some candy for the Easter egg hunt for the kids, we would like the individually wrapped small candies that can fit inside the eggs. We have men's breakfast coming up on March 30th, 8 a.m. We are doing it at Black Bear Diner again this week. I believe our chef is out of town, so that's why we're moving locations. RSVP with Ron Sherwood. He will take your RSVP and we'll get a count for how many people are going to be there. Also, April 19th at 7 p.m., we have the Sidewalk Prophets coming. It's going to be a fun concert. Their tickets are on sale right now through their website. And speaking of events coming up, we also have Women's Aspire. We have a video that we're going to show real quick.
Hello, my name is Mia Kane, and I'm one of the co-founders of Aspire Women's Events. I also serve as a host and as one of the touring musicians on the team. Today, I'm speaking for all of us, and I can confidently say, we can't wait. We are so excited to visit your church this spring of 2024 and to partner with you for this amazing event. On March 22nd, we'll be with you at Home Church. We have Bible teacher, author, and speaker, Mary Shannon, comedian, Michelle Miller, and music by me, Mia Kane.
Hi, I'm Mary Shannon Hoffpower, and I can't wait to see you at an Aspire Women's event. You will walk in the room, and I promise you, you will make new friends as you laugh your guts out listening to our amazing comedians. And our worship girls, they're literally gonna lead you into the throne room. And I promise you, I will do my due diligence and I will bring the word of God to you. That's what I love about Aspire. We are committed to the word of God. So in other words, come to an Aspire because you're gonna laugh your guts out, you are gonna sing your hearts out, and I'm gonna preach my brains out. I'll see you soon.
Aspire is a one-night women's event. It's packed with laughter, learning, stories, and music. It's a fun girls' night out, but don't get me wrong. It's so much more. We're gonna dig into God's word to equip us to be a light in our community, to bring hope to the workplace, to live out joy in our homes. It's a night of laughter, yes, and it's also a night that sparks transformation and healing from the inside out. I'm so thankful that your church said yes. Yes to opening the doors, yes to volunteering with us, and yes to reaching out to those who need to learn, laugh, and hear the gospel message of truth. That's what Aspire is. This is my invitation to you to invite your friends, your family, your neighbors, as your church continues to be a light in the community. So grab those tickets today and we'll see you there.
All right. So if you guys aren't busy on that night, on Friday, March 22nd, ladies, let your men know that you guys are busy and that you guys are gonna have some fun with some other ladies. Tickets are also on sale in the foyer. Right now, if I could ask everybody, then please make sure that you're... Dear Father God, we are so blessed to be in your presence this morning. I ask that you lift up our offerings. The money that we give to you is not It's not ours, and for us to remember that the money that we are giving to you is money that you have put there for us to be able to bless your kingdom so that we can further your kingdom. May every penny go towards the proper spot that it's meant to go. Father, we ask a blessing to go over our tithes, our offerings, whether our offering be money or our prayers or our love or our time spent. Father, we just ask you to bless this. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Who's ready to worship Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to start off with a joke this morning. I'm not going to start with a joke. I'm not good at that. Let me start off with this. We have a birthday in the house. I believe it's this young lady right here to my right, Emily. Hallelujah. What a beautiful first service we had. Worship team can testify to this. God was here. God moved. Our dear sister Ely lost a daughter. And it was a beautiful thing to have the kids come around her and just pray for her and just surround her. What a wonderful time that was. But we also hear rejoicing. Amen. This morning because Christ has risen. He's alive. We also want to, there's another birthday in the house. We have, is Misty here this morning? Is she? I heard it. Misty, happy birthday. Amen. And we have another birthday in the house. Where's Jessica? Happy birthday, Jessica. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, it's always Jesus' birthday. It's always, because we're always reminded that he died, he was buried, but he rose again.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to sing, this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day. We're going to rejoice in it. We're going to be glad in it. You know, that's why I love calling my sister Nancy. When you call someone and they don't answer, you kind of get a little frustrated, like you wish they answered the phone? You need to get a hold of them? Well, our sister Nancy, when she don't answer the phone, I actually get excited because she preaches to me. She says, this is the day the Lord has made. We're rejoicing. We're glad in it. Sorry, I missed your call. Leave a message. And I'm like, preach it, Nancy. Preach it. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad in it. Amen. Hallelujah. By the way, it's so good to see your beautiful faces. I thought I was going to get an amen, but it's okay. You're beautiful to me. Sister, take it off. Let's go.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Thank you. Saved. I'm so glad this young man served the Lord, because if he wasn't, he'd be a crazy dude for the devil. I'm telling you right now. I'm so glad he's serving God. Hallelujah. We're going to continue worshiping Jesus this morning.
For all of those who are a citizen of heaven and who understand that you can be a citizen of heaven while you are here on earth, and more importantly, for those who maybe don't understand that or know that yet, I want to read this truth to you. It comes from Revelation 21:4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
When no heartache shall come. No more sickness, no pain. Señor Padre amado, gracias por esta mañana. Qué bueno que eres, Señor. Qué bueno nos llenamos de gozo, de alegría al glorificarte, Señor, en este y todos los días, Señor. Gracias por tenernos en nuestro hogar, en Home Church. Gracias porque nuestro líder te ama, nos ama, ama tu palabra, Señor. Y siempre tiene palabra fresca que tú envías a través de él para refrescar nuestros corazones, nuestra mente, Señor. Prepara nuestros corazones, prepara nuestra mente, Señor, que tu Espíritu Santo nos llene en esta mañana para recibir lo que tú tienes para nosotros. Bendecimos nuestra congregación en el nombre de tu Hijo Jesús. Amén.
Father, you are so good to us. You are so good to all of us, and we thank and praise you for that. We thank you for all the ages who are here this morning, all of those who are watching on the internet. We thank you for all of the multicultural people and all of the things that you're doing here at Home Church. We love you, Lord, and we know that your Holy Spirit is here with us, and we praise you for that. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made, and whether we're suffering, whether we're mourning, no matter what we're doing, we can be glad because this is the day that the Lord has made. I love scripture and how scripture is written in songs so that we can sing our praises to you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for Pastor Carlos' faithfulness in bringing us the word. And we pray that this morning, as the Holy Spirit leads him, we would listen and obey what the Spirit is saying to us. We love you, Lord. Come among us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God is so good. God is so good. God is so so good to us. Father, you are so good to us. Father, I know you heard me, but I'm not sure if your children heard me. Father, you are so good to us. Amen. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. And Father, I just pray your anointing over this word. Like our sister said, we are citizens of this country. We are citizens from another kingdom. And so, Father, I pray we be reminded that we are pilgrims passing through this life. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, I also want to pray for the meal that you have prepared. May this be a good meal. May this be a satisfying meal. If I was talking the physical realm, may this be a Cracker Barrel meal, Father, a meal, a super burrito meal, a sushi meal. Can someone say amen? But spiritually, Lord, may this not be donuts where we're full really fast and hungry an hour later. May this satisfy our soul in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that in our life, our imperfections, our frailty, Lord, you have grace and mercy. And so I pray, Lord, that we are reminded that none of us here are perfect, but Father, we are here at your hospital to be worked on, to be encouraged, to be loved, to be challenged, to be helped. May we be helped this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, church. Hallelujah. And I just want to say, I so appreciate those who continue standing while we pray. Our sister Barb is, how old is sister Barb?
21.
Is she 21 years old? Is someone 21? Barb, how old are you? 89, she'll be 90, and she comes down here and she prays, she stands and she prays standing, and there are people who are half her age who are sitting on their butt while she's praying. Can the Lord have mercy on us this morning? When we're praying, we should be standing. I so appreciate first service. We're all standing in the house of the Lord while we're praying. Amen? Who's ready for the word this morning? I don't know. I'm going to ask again, who's ready for the word this morning? Amen. If you're watching online, we so appreciate you this morning, and we so thank our interpreter. What a beautiful time again it was to pray over our sister Ruth Ely, who lost her daughter. What a beautiful time that was to have all the kids surround her. What a glorious moment that was. If you don't know our sister Ruth Ely, she lost a daughter, and we want to pray for her. And so keep her in your prayers. Proverbs 24, 3 through 4, let's read together in chorus. We're doing a series called Home Life. Somebody say Home Life. And we want to build on a good, strong foundation. So Proverbs 24, 3 through 4, it reads, let's read together in chorus. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. We're going to read that again one more time, but I'm going to need your help. Let's do it again. One, two, three. By understanding is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled. I think I understood that. All right. That was good. I'm going to just cut to the chase. How many of you know raising kids is no joke? Amen. Raise your hands if you agree with me. Don't point at your kids. Just raise your hand. Okay. How many would agree that parenting today and being a kid today is harder than ever before? Raise two hands if you agree with me. Yes. Say, Lord, I surrender to you. Lord, I need your help. Amen. People have said to Ricky and I, and we appreciate the words of encouragement and the love, but man, you have the perfect family. You have the most amazing, perfect family in the world, and not a day goes by where, you know, anything bad happens. And there are days, if I'm honest, I wonder if any of us are even serving the Lord. Because life gets crazy, amen? Kids are fighting, kids are arguing, this is happening, that's happening, and dogs are barking, we don't even have dogs. Huh? It's craziness. But with saying that, by the grace of God, all three of our children, none of them are married yet. Two will get married. One will never understand what that is or know what that's about. But by the grace of God, all three of them are serving God in the house of the Lord faithfully. But with saying that, I would like to say it's hard to be a parent and a kid, a teenager, today more than ever before because of the mental health issues that are impacting our children at a crazy rate. Kids that are overwhelmed with anxiety, facing things that we never would have dreamed of, because it doesn't help when you give them one of these. Amen? We give them a phone, they turn 8 years old, we say, have fun. And we hope they never see things we never dreamed they'd see. They're introduced to sexuality, perversion, gender identity, ungodly influences. But not even spiritual things. I remember being a kid, I was too young for this, but at the time I didn't know. But I'm at Glenn Duncan Elementary School, and I remember they showed us a video on killer bees. And at that time, I was petrified for months. I didn't want to go outside because I was scared of the killer bees. I was scared, even though there was no killer bees. And yet our kids have access to watch a war live in real time in the Middle East. We're in different times. We're in a different world. And so how do we parent? How do we be guardian? How are we guardian? How do we love our children the way Christ wants us to do it, the way the world's not doing it? How do we be set apart? And how do we love our children in a way where they may love Christ? I want to read Deuteronomy 6:4. We're going to add this scripture to our series. Deuteronomy 6:4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your," what is that? Heart. With all your
And with all your strength. Amen. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Right here, they used to put scriptures right here between their eyes to be a reminder. It was a constant reminder. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I love that. Not only physically, but spiritually. You know, physically we have a door. It's kind of fading right now, but it says, you know, as for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. And it was a gift, I believe, from our sister Leonie. I'm not sure if she's here this morning, but it's a beautiful thing. When you come into our house, you already know who we believe in and what we believe. You know, it's a reminder of what Jesus has done in our lives. But what it's saying in the scripture is, if you're a parent, you want a parent with a purpose. I want to encourage you not just to be what culture calls a Christian. Because some of you know, there's a lot of people that call themselves a Christian, but they're not followers of Jesus. Amen. There's a big difference. There's what you call the casual Christian, the cultural Christian. Jesus talks of this. That's the Christian who prays when life goes bad. Right? They only pray when life goes bad. And rightfully so, we should pray when life goes bad. But that's the only time they talk to God, when all hell breaks loose. Amen? There's the one who goes to Easter service. Who said that? Who said Christmas? Thank you. Yes. The Christmas, they show up to the main, you know, Easter, Christmas, maybe Christmas Eve. Definitely the 4th of July barbecue. They're definitely there. That's the casual, cultural Christian. When you're a Christ-centered, loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, that's the highest calling. Can someone say amen? Amen. It's very important, because as parents, especially in the early years, no one should have greater influence on your children in the early years than you do. No one should have greater influence on your children than you should have. So in the early years, when you got the truth of God, again, you're not perfect. You're not this perfect human being, but you have the truth of God in you. We want to impress those spiritual truths on our children, just like the text says. We're going to talk about these things over breakfast. We're going to talk about these things over lunch, on the drive to school, on the drive home. Christ is going to be in the center of our conversation in pretty much everything. It's just going to be a normal thing we do. It's in everything. God's not an add-on to our life. God's not just a part of our life. God is our life. I'm going to say that again. God is not a part of our life. God's not just an add-on. He is our life. And that's a big difference than being a cultural Christian. So what has gone wrong? You look at teenagers all over, they're hurting, they're depressed. We got people who are suicidal, who are cutting themselves, confused, who they are, what they are. So what are we doing wrong? There's probably a lot of things we're doing wrong, but I want to start with just a few things that I believe we're doing wrong and a few things I believe we can do better. So number one, I believe we're overprotective. We play it too safe. Number two, we come to the rescue too quick. And number three, we are bad examples. Overprotective. I think you would agree, many families today avoid risk, adversity, and they risk pain. That would be the top value in parenting. We don't want our children to hurt. We don't want them to have a difficult time. And there's nothing wrong with wanting your children to have a good life. We want that, but we can take it too far where we overprotect our kids. You know that saying, somebody would say, you know, I used to walk from home to school in the snow with no shoes. Who remember those days? I'm going to be real. I used to walk all the way from Lemon Valley all the way by the pepper mill to go to church when I was 14 years old. The times were different. I would walk to school. That was me. Who remembers back in the day when you would wake up, maybe watch some Smurfs, eat some cereal, and your parents would say, get out and play or we're going to put you to work. Yeah? You know, you go outside, you'd be outside all day. There were rules, and that was, don't kill anybody. Don't be stupid. You know, be a Christian. You know, we didn't have no meal. Our mom didn't prepare us anything. We found a rat somewhere, and we cooked it. We ate it. You know, we did those things. If we needed water, there was no hydro flask. We just used the hose of the neighbors, right? Remember those days? That's the best water right there. Today, people are like, no, don't drink that. You're going to die. You know, no. Times have changed. And I'm not saying we need to go back to that. I'm just saying things are different now. That's what was back then. That's what we did. I remember a time when my dad would take all the kids from church, put them in the back of the truck, go down the highway 65 miles an hour, and nobody thought of anything about it. Yeah, I mean, no one thought a thing. Yeah, you want to take it a step further? Thank you, whoever said that. No seatbelts. Why? Because your mom was your seatbelt. When she stopped, boom. Because no seatbelt can love you more than mama. She was right there. That's actually how they came up with the airbag, because when mama got older, when grandma, it kind of, you know. Whoa. I'm joking, that's not how they came up with the airbag. But anyways. I'm not saying we need to go back. I'm just saying I thank God for seatbelts. We need to wear our seatbelts. Your kid needs to wear their seatbelt. They need to wear helmets, but they might not need to wear a helmet on the way to check the mail. Amen? But what happens when we protect our children from pain, we can rob them from confidence. I know 20-year-olds today who lack confidence to even drive. They don't want to drive. They're scared. They lack the confidence. I know 22-year-olds today who can't fill out an application for work because they lack confidence. I was reading an article that said it's not uncommon where parents now will show up to an interview with their child who's 20 years old. They're showing up to the interview saying, I need to be here. I insist I need to be here with my kid who is over 18 years old. I need to be here with them. Not only can we rob them in believing in themselves, but by taking away all risk, we rob them from putting their faith in God. By removing all risk, we can actually take them where they don't need half the faith in God. There's no need. Hebrews 6:11 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. You cannot please God without faith. You need faith to please God. When God says, I need you to step out. I need you to step out. I know this is uncommon ground, but you need to step out. Your child needs to have enough confidence, not in themselves, not in anybody else, but God, to say, God, I believe in you and I trust you. Amen. You're going to be there right for me. Amen. Little Sally forgets her science project, right? Mom stays up till 2 in the morning helping her with her science project. And then they win, and then they celebrate. Little Jack forgets his sweater. Dad goes all the way home from work, takes the sweater, takes it to school, drops off, and goes back to work. You know what my dad would have said? Hey, you forgot your sweater? You're cold? Hey, walk home. You'll never forget. You're going to learn. You're going to learn. Number two, we come to the rescue too quick. We come to the rescue too quick. Say that with me. We come to the rescue too quick. You know, parents always want a good teacher. Amen? We want a good teacher. There is a really good teacher. Her name is Consequence. Her name is Consequence. She's strict, man. But when if we rob our children from consequences, we're robbing them from the greatest lessons they could ever learn. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will reap." There's a lot of parents that want to play God. When their children makes a mistake, when their kid doesn't listen to them, they're there at their beck and call to save them from the situation that they should have learned from, and they keep doing that all their life. Well, sooner or later, that kid is going to grow up, and that kid's going to learn the hard way. He's going to learn the hard way. God says, "I will not be mocked. You reap what you sow." I'll never forget this kid, Billinghurst Middle School. Caught HIV. He was always going around bragging about how many girls he had sex with. At that age, he was held back. I'm not going to say his name, but I remember my locker was right next to his. I'm in the seventh grade, and I remember thinking, can you imagine if his parents would have made a stand and said, "If you do this again, you're going to be disciplined. You're not allowed to be doing this in our house." But no. And sooner or later, years went by, and he continued, "You reap what you sow." He caught AIDS and he's dead today. You reap what you sow. God says, "I will not be mocked." A lot of parents come to the rescue a little too quick. We rob them. You remember the story of the prodigal son? The prodigal son, he told his dad, he said the F word to his dad. He said, "Forget you." He said, "I'm done. I want my inheritance, and I want it now." And he took his inheritance, and he went and partied hard. Matter of fact, he had a good time. How many know the Bible says, "Send us fun for a season"? He had a good time. He squandered all his money. He squandered everything. And what did the father do? The father was there with open arms. But the father never rescued his son. That's a big difference. The father never went after him to go rescue him. The father was there. And when he came to his senses, he came back home, and the father was there with loving arms. That's a big difference. It's a big difference. Sometimes we risk too little. We rescue too quickly. Number three, we're bad examples. And if we all say amen at the same time, nobody's going to know I'm talking about you. We're bad examples. Amen. I want to say to the parents, if we're not serious about our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, if we're not modeling a sincere living our lives for the glory of God, how can we ever expect our children to want to do that? How can we ever expect our children to want to give God their life fully? Remember, when it comes to parenting, especially in the early years, more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. Your kids are watching every move you make. They just don't become what you say, they become what they see. Are you hearing me? So like when we say one thing and we do another, they catch on real quick. We're a Christian family. We're Christians, and we're not showing up to church faithfully. We're Christians, and we're not tithing. We're not giving to the house of the Lord. We're Christians, and we're not forgiving. We're not forgiving people. You know, whatever you think of my kids, we live in a crazy world. There's a lot of crazy stuff outside the world, a lot of crazy stuff in the church. Pastors can get bitter real quick. If I held on to things, you would see my three children walking around like three little devils. If I told them, if they knew everything that was going on in life. But I have to keep my heart right with God. And because of that, and by the grace of God, they're not affected. We're a Christian family, and yet life is all about us. No wonder our kids don't want anything to do with God. The fastest way to drive your kids away from God is to be a hypocrite. Jesus said this when he said it in Mark, the book of Mark. Jesus was hanging out with a bunch of people who said they loved his father, and Jesus said, "Hey, this is what Isaiah was talking about." You remember that guy Isaiah who died many years ago? He prophesied this. These people right here, he said, they love me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Can you imagine being in that crowd? I don't know about you, but I would have got on my knees and said, "Lord, is that what Isaiah said? Forgive me." But nowhere in Scripture do we see The Pharisees did that. Matter of fact, they killed him later. They killed Jesus. The very people that Jesus is talking about right here. He says, they love me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. No parent will ever be perfect. No parent will ever be perfect, but if we consistently claim one thing and consistently do another, our children will run from the things of God. Mark my words. So what can we do better to help our children to get to know God and love God? There's something called the law of exposure. I thank God for my classes with Pastor Todd. The law of exposure, the more you're around something, you become like it. You hear that? The more you're around something, you become like it. And parenting, I would describe it this way. Who and what you expose your children to will shape who they become and what they believe. We expose our children to bad attitudes. Guess what? They're going to have a bad attitude. We expose our children to sexualized images. Guess what? You're going to have a pervert on your hands. You expose your children to a hardcore materialism. And you don't have to have a lot of money to have this spirit. I know people who are dead broke and are very greedy. Greedy people. You expose your children to this, they're going to be like that. You expose your children to prejudice. How many know it's a beautiful thing when you see little kids hanging out together, little ones? There's no color. But when you put them in an environment of people who have been hurt by somebody of different color, then when they're around that environment, all of a sudden they grow up being prejudiced about somebody. Ungodly values, if we allow them to be exposed to hang out with people who believe those things, it's no question one day when they turn 18, they want nothing to do with God. Nothing. If we're going to parent God's way, what can we do? I wrote something down. We can't force our children to love God. We can't force our children to love God, but we can expose them to people and experiences that increase the likelihood of their spiritual growth. That's what we can do. We can't make them do anything. I don't want to put my kids in a bubble, but I also don't want to put my kids in the lion's den. Now, if my kids go into the lion's den because they made a stand for God, God's going to save them. But if my kids know better, God gave them the brain, and they go in the lion's den, and there's no need to go in there. God says, I gave you a brain, you're going to reap what you sow. Does that make a big difference there? Big difference. Number one, we want to expose them to the joy of knowing God personally. We want to expose them to the joy of knowing God personally. We want them to see Jesus in us. I want my kids to see me worshiping God. I want my kids to see me convicted by God. I have no problem when my kids see that when someone talks to me or I'm preached or I'm challenged, that I get my heart right, that I say, God, I'm sorry that I set that example. I want my kids to see the power, presence, and peace of God so they can want it themselves. Jesus explained eternal life. He said it wasn't behavior, it was relationship. I want to have a relationship with my God that they may want to be just like me. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. So I want to say to parents, we should create environments where our kids want to have discussions about God. It's so important that they feel comfortable coming to you. When it comes to Jesus and God serving life, we want to make that the most common conversation in our house. Yes, I have no problem talking about hunting and talking about foraging and all that stuff with my kids. I have no problem talking about horses with Arabella. But every day, we're talking about God. Every day, that's a conversation in our house while we're driving. It's God. It's not uncommon. We'll go get pizza. Not only do we bless the food, but we say, you know what? Can we thank God for all this pepperoni? And Arabella, she don't like pepperoni. And she's like, thank you, God. She likes cheese, you know. But we say, but even when God gives us pepperoni, We want to be grateful because, you know, those people don't have pepperoni. We want to thank God for this meal and thank God for this time that we have as a family, because that could be taken from us. There could be a day one of us, who knows what life has, but we're here together. Let's thank God for that. You know, Mateo, he used to play basketball. We'd take him to his cell. He was playing on a little team, and he would lose. And we used every opportunity to bring God. We'd say, you know what, Mateo? You showed good sportsmanship. You were out there, and yeah, you lost, but you know what? You were an example of what it means to be a good teammate and to say congratulations to those who won. You were Jesus out there, bro. And I said, you know what, Mateo? You're actually more of a winner in my eyes than the ones who won, because you showed what it meant to be a Christian. I'm proud of you. Carlos gets a good grade. Carlos, good job, man. But don't ever forget, God's the one who gave you that brain. You better praise God. Don't ever think you did it on your own. You can put God in the center of anything. And everything. Anything. Because one day, your kids are going to have questions about God, and I don't know all the answers. I really don't. I know some of you look really disappointed, like, wow, my pastor doesn't know all the answers. I'm leaving this church. Well, hey, sorry. I don't have all the answers. I could find out by God's grace. But because it's a normal thing to talk about, they're going to come to you openly. Because it's a normal thing you guys talking about. Again, you're not a perfect parent. You don't know it all. But Christ is in the center of your life. Your kids are going to come to you when they have a question instead of going to the atheist at school. Instead of going to that rebellious punk who sits in the back of the bus and they don't want anything to do with God and they hate life. Or that teacher who's involved in witchcraft. Huh? That teacher, that kid at school. They don't even know what gender they are. They're going to talk with them when they should be talking to you and me. Mark my words. The safest place is to come to you and process their doubts, because they will have doubts. Your kids are going to have doubt. So as parents, we want to make sure we're talking about God. You know, I've never told Carlos, I'm glad he's here. I've never told him, read your Bible. Never. He reads his Bible because he sees me doing it. He sees his mom doing it. His brother sees him doing it, so he does it. And his sister, their sister came to me the other day and says, Daddy, I wrote a sermon. Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. And that's when you know it's a really awesome thing, because now you no longer have a kid who has a secondhand faith. It's a firsthand. They're not just going to church because you go to church. They go to church because they love God. They go to church because they love Jesus. So number two, we expose them to the presence and power of God in His church. And I say in His church because I don't want to expose them to the presence and power of God just in the mountains. I want to expose them to the presence of God in His church, because Psalms 92:13, a very important scripture, says, those who are planted, someone say planted, planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They're planted in the house of the Lord. If we're just a casual Christian family, we go to church every now and then. But if we're a Christ-centered family, we'll be planted in the house of the Lord, and those who are planted will flourish in the house of the Lord. So as I get ready to close, I have a question for the parents. First service, I so appreciate their honesty. But again, I'm not going to go around and asking you. This is just between you and God. What is not optional in your house? I would guess going to school is not an option. Just you as a parent, I want you to close your eyes with me. It's fine. What is not optional in your house? Is homework an option? If it's not, it should be, okay? If it's not, it, going to the dentist, how about that? I'll put that one. Going to the dentist, is that an option? If it is, it shouldn't be. You should be going to the dentist. And homework, you should be doing homework. What is it What is not optional in your house? Think about that. What happens when the weekend comes? Does someone in your house ask, are we going to church Sunday? Are we going to church Sunday? Are we going to church this week? That. Everything else during the week, everything else in the week is important. It's not up for discussion. And the very thing that should be at the heart of our faith, our family, our expression, our love for God is debatable. I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you right now, no one in my family, by the grace of God, has ever asked, are we going to church? No one has ever asked, are we going to church Sunday? And it's not because we're a pastor's family. It's not because I'm the pastor of the church, because even before I became the pastor of the church and before I became on staff or ministry, my kids knew we go to church. Matter of fact, I was tested. One time I'll never forget, we were going to go on vacation, we were going to miss church, and Carlos stepped up. Okay, you got a picture. Carlos, he was little, okay? He goes, Dad, we can't miss church. And that's when it gets annoying. You're like, oh yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, I mean, hey, but he said, Dad, can we just go after church? Can we just start the vacation after Sunday morning? Like, Carlos, go clean your room. When you prioritize something over God's house on the Sabbath that he commanded to be holy and set apart, we're breaking God's commandment. We're not going to go to church today because of the big game. We're not going to go to the church today because we're going to the lake. We're not going to go to this weekend because we overslept. It's been a busy week. We need to sleep in. We're not going to church this weekend because the weather's too bad. We're not going to church this weekend because the weather is really good. The weather's too good. The weather's too good to go to church. We're not going to church this weekend because you fill in the blank, but when you slowly prioritize things over church and never prioritize church over everything else, you are clearly demonstrating to your family what you prioritize. Plain and simple. So, question, are you more of a cultural Christian or a Christ-centered Christian? What kind of Christian are we? And the good news is we can, it's a very easy step to move in the right direction. It's just called, Father, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to follow you. You know, every now and then, yes, I know life has its things. Life throws at us. We're gone here and there. But you got to be careful, because the more you let go, the more you go out into the ocean on a raft, the harder it is to come back in. Okay? So you just got to be careful. And just remember who you are and what you are. You are going to impart that to your children. You can say all you want, don't do this, don't do that, but they are watching. And more importantly, spiritually, they're going to receive what you have. Okay? So in this moment, I want to read a scripture here, Exodus 20. It's a very important scripture. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Keep one day for him. Amen? I want to read Mark 27:28. Before I read that, I think it's very important for those who are having the scripture. You'll really appreciate this. As you know, I'm in seminary, and This is from our Point Loma University. The day of rest, Jesus says, is made for humans. Mark 2:27, Jesus claims himself as Lord of the Sabbath. This lordship does not abolish the Sabbath. For why would Jesus abolish something over which he claims himself as ruler? But instead, he reinforces its vitality for life. So you could read Mark 27:28 in your own time. Church, I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes in this moment, please. I so appreciate your faithfulness and you being here this morning. All those who are watching online who couldn't make it this morning, appreciate your faithfulness. Those who are watching online, we so appreciate you. This morning, I would like to pray for our kids, but before we do that, I want to remind parents here. I mentioned in first service that doesn't matter how old Carlos or my kids get, I will always encourage them to serve the Lord no matter the mistakes I've made as a parent. I'm not going to allow my mistakes as a parent to dictate how I parent my children. I'm not perfect and I know I'm not perfect, but through my imperfections, God can help me and help them. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you have a child who's 30 years old. Maybe you have a child who's 20. Maybe you have a child who's 50. It does not matter. You can still encourage your kid to love God. You can still be that example. You can still show them the love of Christ. This morning I want to pray. I want to pray for our kids this morning. So I'd like our kids to come up right now and just go ahead and line up in front of me in this moment, please. Amen. Just right here, guys. Just all line up right here. Yes, please. Thank you. Come on down. Come on down. Line up. Just go ahead. Yes. To say if we're not influencing our kids, the world will influence them. If you're 19 years old, if you're 19 years old, I don't care, come down. Amen. I don't care if you're engaged. Come down. You still, I think mama can agree with me. You're still a kid. Can somebody say amen? Can we scoot down this way, everybody? Can we scoot down this way, please? Careful, careful. Careful. Amen. Let's all scoot down. Now I want to do something. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we're going to try our best. I'd like a parent from each family or both parents to come down and stand behind your child right now. Right now. Come and stand behind your child. Hallelujah. Now I want to take it a step further. If you're a family member of our church, you're a leader of our church, you're a board member of our church, a Bible study leader of our church, a children's leader of our church, even a children's leader, I want you to now stand behind a parent. Just pick a parent and stand behind them. If you're an ex-pastor, used to pastor, Just come behind. Yes, yes, come behind. Just stand right behind. Thank you, Mr. Juan. I appreciate that. Just come behind and stand behind a parent. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. Thank you. Come behind and stand behind a parent. Amen. Now we're going to take this time. We're going to pray. And kids, I need you to do me a favor. Can you guys, does anybody have ants in their pants? No? Can you guys just stand with me for a little bit? Be patient. Yeah? We're going to pray. But this moment is very important to me and to you and for you. I'm going to have a leader pray over your parent, and I'm going to have the parent pray over their child. Okay? And so we're going to go down the line here. So leader, pray for the parent, and parent, pray for your child. And when your mom or dad is praying for you, I want you to close your eyes and accept that prayer. Amen? Amen. So we're going to start over here with our brother, Mr. Juan. And Mr. Juan's going to pray for you, my sister. Amen.
Heavenly and gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful message that you have brought through Pastor Carlos for our parents and for our children, Lord. I pray for all the parents here, Father. I pray for my sister here, Father, as well, so that you could give her the godly wisdom, godly knowledge, Father, and the guidance to lead these men, these women that she has, to know the truth, Lord, and to be bold, to proclaim the truth, no matter what cost, Father, because that is what people need to hear nowadays, the truth, Lord.
Yes. Yes. Can someone give God praise this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Mr. Ron, can you please pray for the Pullman family?
Father, I just want to give thanks and praise for Kevin and Nicole, who have been godly leaders in their family, and we see that in their kids. And we ask that you would just continue to hold them up, continue to have your hand of strength and guidance over them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Parent, right now, I want you to pray for your kids right now. So after the leader prays, just go ahead and pray for your kids right now. Amen.
Father, I just lift up my precious daughter and her husband, Lord. I just pray that you would give them strength and to just help them to continue to lead their children in the path of righteousness, Lord, that they would follow you, that they would be in love with you, that their first love would be you, Lord, and not the world. And we just praise you.
Pastor Pepe, could you please pray for Milagro, please?
Señor Padre, dijiste tú dejar los niños que vengan a mí. Están ante tu altar, Señor. Oramos porque los padres tengan, sean el reflejo de tu imagen, Señor. Que enseñen a Cristo en su hogar, que sean sacerdotes de su hogar. Bendice a cada hogar de la iglesia, Señor. En el nombre de Jesús.
Heavenly Father, I want to pray for Jim and Cherie, Lord. I want to thank you for this beautiful family. And when I say that, I know the church agrees with me 100%. This beautiful couple who have served you and are serving you for such a long time. Father, I pray, Lord, the labor, God, the years of dedication, the years of faithfulness, Lord, it will pay off in time, in your time. And so I pray a blessing over their family, over their children and their grandchildren. And Father, for those, God, the children, Lord, who maybe have gone astray, Lord, we're believing by faith they will come back home in your time. We're believing this in Jesus' precious name. Bless our brother, bless our sister, we pray, and their children. Amen. Can I have, let's see here. Jim, can I please have you pray for this family in front of you, for Francisco and Maria, their kids? Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we pray for this family here, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just be with them and guide them and help them along in their ways, Lord. May you always be with them and watch over them, Lord. Help them to grow closer and closer to you, Lord. May they be praying to you. May they be closer to you, Lord. May they just always be there. May your Holy Spirit just be with them always. In Jesus' glorious name.
Amen. Nancy, could you pray for Ricky and the kids, my family, please?
Father God, we are just so grateful for this family. We pray, Lord, that Pastor Carlos and Ricky remain stalwart and not fail, that they continue to show that your way is the best. And Lord, we just pray for the children, Carlos, Mateo, and Ari, such precious family, Lord. We just give you all the praise and all the glory for them. Thank you.
Laura, can you please pray for Jan and the kids, please?
Padre bendito, te doy gracias, Señor, por esta familia. Y no solamente mi familia de sangre, sino mi familia en Cristo. Gracias, Señor. Te pido que derrames y bendigas la familia de ellas. Que la hagas fuerte. Que la hagas más con esa necesidad de saber de ti. De poder ayudar, Señor, a todos los que estén alrededor de ellos. Bendícelos y protégelos en su futuro y en el futuro de sus hijos. Amén, Señor.
Amen, amen. Jeannie, could you pray for our sister and her daughter, please? Thank you.
Father God Almighty, I thank you so much for this mother. Father, I pray that you would wrap your arms around her, Father, that you would give her strength for today. Lord, that you would carry her in every step that she needs to as she takes care of her children, Father. Give her wisdom and discernment in the strong name of Jesus.
Amen. And could you pray for all of our sisters?
Father God Almighty, I pray for my sister here, that, Lord, you would give her strength, that you would give her wisdom, Father God, that she would be able to meet the needs of her children just exactly for who they are, Father. In the very strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Now, parents, a reminder, while they're praying, please pray for your kids. Miss Laura, can you please pray for this beautiful family right next to you, please? Laura, thank you.
Dear Lord, thank you for our new friends at our church and their beautiful family. It is such a blessing to have them here. Keep them close to you and let them just love you and follow you forever. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Jenny, if you'd like to pray for her.
Father God Almighty, I pray for Elena and Mark, that as they raise a grandchild, Father, that you would give them wisdom and discernment, Father. That, Lord, you would give them strength and Father, just a wisdom beyond their ability to match every need that the grandchild needs, Father.
Yes.
In the strong name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, I want to lift up these two sisters to you, Elaine and Leonie, Father. When I said earlier that parenting is no joke, these two women know what it means to be a parent, Father. They work so hard, and they're involved in so much, Lord. And so I just pray a blessing over them both. Cover them, God. Protect them and their children. And through their imperfections, Lord, you are made perfect. You will make them perfect, Father. So I plead the blood of Christ over them and over their families, Father, over their husbands, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Michelle, if you'd like to pray for Sarah, please. And also, after you pray for Sarah, for Ophelia and her family.
Gracias, Señor, por este día. Gracias por la enseñanza que nos diste el día de hoy. Pongo en tus manos a Sara y yo, hermana Ophelia. Te pido que tú les sigas dando sabiduría, fuerzas para continuar guiando a sus hijos, a tus hijos, en tu camino.
Padre Celestial, te damos gracias por estos jóvenes que están aquí. Y te pedimos, Señor, que les proteja sus mentes, Señor, que te experimenten en una manera muy especial para que sepan que esta no es nada más una religión, sino es una relación contigo, Dios mío. En el nombre de Jesús, que reciban al Espíritu Santo. tengan deseos de tu santa palabra. Y nunca se olviden que estás ahí, siempre, en los momentos que ellos necesiten. Protégelos de cualquier compañía que los está influenciando en el nombre de Jesús. Declaramos el enemigo atado para que no pueda influenciar en el nombre de Jesús. El enemigo es atado en el nombre de Jesús.
All right, kids, I want you to do me a favor. I want all the kids to come close right here. Parents, remain where you are, but all the kids come close right here. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. So, I want you to close your eyes with me. Some of you need to pray this, and some of you don't, but we all need to do it together. I want you to mean this with your heart, okay? Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me for not obeying my parents. For not listening to my teacher, for having a bad attitude, for being rebellious. Forgive me. I am sorry. I will honor my father and my mother no matter what. I will love them. I will listen to them. I will respect them and my grandparents and my church leaders. And the policeman. I am not going to be disobedient. I need your help. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your guidance. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And I want to serve you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, well, let's go ahead and let's bow our heads right now. Let's stay where we're at. We'll stay where we're at. Let's bow our heads. I need somebody to pray. I need somebody to pray. I need somebody to pray us out of here. Lillian, you want to pray us out of here? Let's all bow our heads. Let's all pray. Just a reminder, everybody, we so appreciate you. Before we dismiss, I just want to encourage you. Our children are trying to raise money for Elevate to go and to hear about God and have fun. So go to the cafe, help us out. Be encouraged. We love you. Life group is only 2 more weeks, everybody. 2 more weeks. Life group is, so go to a life group. We thank you. Amen. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Just thank you, Lord, for everybody to be here. Just thank you, Lord, for Pastor to let us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Give God praise. Amen. Good job. Amen. Be blessed.